Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And right on time, right on cue, here he is. Here he is. Howie Roseman, the general manager.
Wait, stay here for a second. Stay
what?
Here.
What?
Evaluate. What do you think?
Do I fit in my clothes this year?
It's getting there. It's better than those construction MC Hammer pants you wore last year.
Wow. Okay. Wow. How about that?
All right.
Not trying to. How are you?
Are we live right now?
Yeah, we're live. What the hell?
Yeah, we're just going.
Say whatever you want. No one's watching it, so we can say whatever we want.
That's great. That's great.
So
I'm not going to try that. I feel like I can be burnt.
Trying to think of a good conspiracy theory that I could really try to get you to sign on for.
Oh, really? There's no one that no conspiracy theory out there?
Was Andrew on before me?
We had Craig Carton on before you.
Actually, we had Craig Carton on FaceTime.
Isn't it cool that Andrew worked in Philly and now his brother works for me?
It is.
And the best part about that is they're twins. And most people, when they see Adam Berry wear an Eagles sweatshirt, they're like, Andrew, why are you still wearing Eagles gear?
Right.
It's unbelievable. I'm going to try to flip them so I can get some inside information. I'm going to send them on a stealth mission to Cleveland.
Probably not.
That would be a good conspiracy theory. See?
That's why I wonder why I am.
To talk to you, you're always a fun interview. Seriously, I mean that. Of course, you're still the captain of one of the best teams in football. What's a tougher year to digest? Losing the Super Bowl in a heartbreaking way, or kind of what happened this year with kind of just playing underwhelming football down the stretch?
They're both traumatic.
I know they are.
And, you know, I think that losing the Super Bowl, because of the way the NFL calendar is, you don't really have a chance to digest it because you got to kind of run and you feel behind.
You're right back here the next week.
And I said this to someone today. I don't know that I really dealt with it. And it's kind of came up a little bit with the trauma of this year.
Huh.
You know, so, you know, I think that a lot of these scars, you know, the NFL, the football gods, you know, they don't want to make anything too easy. Anytime you think you got it figured out, you know, they kind of kick you in the ass.
Yep.
So I think they're equally hard. You know, losing's hard, you know, no matter when you do it. And so, you know, I think that also it makes the great moments. You know, I think doing this as long as I have, you can enjoy the moments. You know, even the wins. You know, you have to enjoy. But it certainly when you have those moments, when you see the confetti falling down and you're kind of down there and you're walking off the field and someone else is enjoying it, it's hard. I think losing 6 or 7 games when you start 10-1, hard.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I think the only way for me personally to deal with it is what can I do better? Mm. You know, how can I make sure that we have the best possible roster with the best possible people? on and off the field that I possibly can do. And so, you know, I was just saying this to Bob. I was saying, you know, there's something about the off season that for me personally is invigorating, because it's like, you know, as you guys know, I have four kids. And so, like, when you're watching them play a sport, like, you want to be there for them. And, you know, when you help run a team, you feel the same way about your players.
Yeah.
But you can't control it.
Right.
And so at least this is a part of a process where you feel like you maintain some control, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
Right, right. All right, so the end of the year, like, if you had to put your spin or your assessment on the 6 or 7 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you articulate it to us?
I think you really have to go back and look at it from the season perspective.
Okay.
And I was just saying this, you know, I think it's hard when you do these end of season press conferences, you're fresh off the season, fresh off that trauma. I think you got to go back and really just take a minute with fresh eyes and really evaluate it and really evaluate your team first before you can even dive into free agency and the draft, and really figure out, like, are these some things that you think based on the last 6 or 7 games,
yeah.
or that now you really believe?
Right.
And so I think that's the most important thing. And I think the bottom line, Chris, is we weren't good enough, you know, and that starts with me to make sure that we are good enough. And, you know, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to pick around in that wound too much, but I am curious, because we had Andy Reid on a little bit ago. I mean, they bottomed out Christmas Day.
Best.
Lost to the Raiders at home and found a way to flip the switch. Mm-hmm. Like, was there just no switch there to flip this year, or you just couldn't, the team collectively couldn't
yeah.
get it turned around?
I think sometimes you have years where you expand so much energy during the season that it's kind of like when you try to find that kind of superpower button, it's like, maybe we already used it, you know? And I'm just talking out loud. I'm thinking out loud as you're saying that. And sometimes you're kind of like, you're cruising, and it's like, now we got to hit the superpower button. And certainly, you know, Coach Reed and the Chiefs, I mean, unbelievable, you know, continued success, and congratulations to him. Obviously, whatever we had wasn't enough, and we got to be better.
How much of it do you think was carryover physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally from getting so close to winning the Super Bowl, playing into February, and starting over again back at 0-0 7 months later?
I think whatever I tell you would be an excuse, you know, and certainly you've seen teams who've lost the Super Bowl who've had bad years coming back, and you can point to some of those factors, but you've also seen teams that have played really well coming off a Super Bowl loss. So anything I would give you here wouldn't be fair either way, and I think at the end of the day, we got to kind of learn from 2023 and kind of have it in our rearview mirror, but understand there were some lessons there and move on to 2024.
What do you preach right now to the team with all these off the field distractions, your coaches, all this talk, locker room? And I'm not saying any of it's credible or whatever,
but it's out there. You got to deal with it,
right?
Well, I don't feel that.
You know?
Okay. I don't feel that.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a tremendous core group of players who are under contract. You know, certainly on offense, most of these guys are young. You know, obviously you got 2 future Hall of Famers in Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, who are probably a little bit different age bracket. But when you look at AJ, when you look at Devontae, when you look at Dallas Goedert, when you look at Jordan Mulata, when you look at Landon, when you look at Cam Jurgens, when you look at Jalen Hurts, young players.
Yep.
Who have great football character, they love to play. And then, you know, you talk about the coaching staff, and obviously, you know, you make those moves, and Coach Sirianni is a better person to talk about it, but you make those moves, you know, by thinking you're bringing in really good people.
Right.
And so, you know, I haven't really thought about it the way you put it. In all honesty, I feel like we have really good people, and it's like a layer cake. We got to build upon that and get better.
Well, I mean, you brought me there. I want to ask you this anyways. What excites you the most about, you know, the new coaching staff, right? I mean, it seemed like Fangio kind of got away from you guys in a way that maybe you didn't want him to get away.
Yeah.
But what is the new look excite?
Yeah,
Howie?
I think when you think about defense and mentality in Philadelphia, and, you know, I've been very fortunate to have been around some great defense coordinators with the Philadelphia Eagles. Some guys who were on our staff and became great defense coordinators, some who were our defense coordinators. You know, it starts with mentality. And certainly, you know, Vic brings a mentality on how he wants to play defense, which is exciting. And then, you know, Coach adding Kellen is exciting. You know, I think he just mentioned there, I think you're talking about, you know, 2 years ago, maybe 2 of the top 3 offenses in the league
yeah,
and combining
right.
forces. And, you know, I know when we go and play Dallas, you know, obviously really good offense, continue to be a good offense. So I think those are exciting. But again, you know, this is all on paper. I think I've learned a lot that things on paper, they look good. You got to come together. You got to come together on and off the field as a staff and certainly as a team.
Yeah. You mentioned Jason Kelce. At the end of his documentary, there's a scene where he's agonizing with what to do because you guys need to know what he's going to do. When do you need to know what Jason Kelce is going to do for 2024?
Well, I know this. You know, I don't think that there's a scenario in any of our minds, starting with Jeffrey, where Jason ever plays anywhere else. So he deserves the time to decide what he wants to do. Obviously, you know, we're going to accommodate that because, you know, he doesn't need to be rushed on that and whatever.
But he was making it clear. You guys need to know by the start of the league year last year. He made that clear in the documentary. Is that when you need to know this year?
Well, a lot of things are different last year than this year.
All right.
I like it. Yes, you're my favorite. You really are. Because you give it to him as good as anybody there is.
But the problem is, he can take shots at me the 364 other days.
I'm not
going to.
Yeah,
don't fight with the guy who buys his ink by the truckload, Howard.
I'll be here sticking up for you, Mr. GM of Philadelphia.
Pen is mightier than the sword. I'm not that stupid.
I'm intrigued by this because of what you've done. You've built a super talented team. It's incredibly deep. You got old and new and young. How do you balance getting the young guys in the game a little bit to grow or whatever? Yeah. How does that go down between you and the coaching staff? I'm just curious.
Yeah. It's one of the topics that we've talked about here. I think that the last couple of years, because we've had kind of this mix of young guys who are learning from these veteran guys.
Right.
You know,
right.
You look at the defense tackle position, learning from Fletch and Hargrave, and then, you know, looking at the O-line and learning from Kelce and Lane. And then you get to kind of, you got a guy like Cam Jurgens,
yeah,
who obviously played this year. And so maybe you have that flexibility when you don't have all these high-priced players. But certainly as you look at some of the guys coming up, as you look at some of the guys that we've paid, you know, you probably don't have that flexibility as much. And I think there's something exciting about it. Now, I think there's something like mysterious about it too, where it's not like, all right, I got this guy, you know, he's a second or third round pick, we just got to throw him out there, where before it's like, all right, I got this veteran guy who can play, and then you have this backup learning. But I think that just it's the evolution of the team, and I know the coaches are excited about that, our player development program is excited about that, about giving these guys opportunities.
Right. You want to go on?
All right.
I'm always intrigued by the next curve, too, of football, right? Like, when I worked in New England when I got done playing, and they were at that point going, hey, the new thing is going to be fast middle linebackers that are not thumpers, right? And I was kind of like, are you sure, right? And, of course, that it was the way it went.
Right.
Is there anything right now in football that you find that's evolving in a weird way or a different way? You've been around it for so long.
You know, I would say this. I certainly don't want to talk about how we think and do things because there's no reason to it. We're competing with 31 really smart, good teams. But I would say this. I would say that if you really look at the teams that are winning, they're a step ahead. If you're following teams, if you're saying, hey, these are the teams that are winning, we got to try to do it. And I think, I give John Schneider a lot of credit. I always think about the Seattle, you know, and how they're playing defense.
Right.
And how they were able to get these big, long corners who maybe weren't 4-4 guys in the fourth and fifth round.
But it was ahead of the times.
Well, and then they started losing coaches. Yeah. And then all of a sudden these guys went in the first and second round. So it wasn't as much a competitive advantage. You know, I think Coach Reed, where he was taking these defensive ends who were 6'2 and 245, and we were drafting them in the fourth and fifth round, and these were fastballs off the edge, you know? Well, the league started to catch on. So we're trying to say, what can be a competitive advantage? Where can we get a head start on things? And I think our best teams had little areas that we could kind of maximize for the moment.
Right.
And everyone catches up, you know? But I think that's what we're trying to find out. That's what we're spending time trying to figure out, to see what can be next so that we're not just following the curve, because there's no benefit in that. You don't get the guys at a lower rate. So, obviously that's
why it's
trying
to look for the next move is basically your answer.
And sometimes we'll try some things, and we have an idea that we're going to try, and we'll see if it works.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And then maybe a year or two, I can say, hey, remember that conversation, because it'll be taken. But if it doesn't work, I'll deny it ever happened.
Howie. You'll try to deny it ever happened. Howie Roseman, Eagles GM, thanks as always for joining us.
I felt like this was a one-on-one.
That's
felt
fine.
Like
you that's say, fine. He's been doing it all day. It's like I'm not even here.
What? Okay.
We'll be back.
Damn.
Are we taking a break? Are we
doing all right? I guess we are.
We're taking a break. More PFT Live right after this. Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Don't fall down the escalator.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
try
yeah,
to walk
yeah.
down the up escalator either. There he is. Yeah, and he's you. Here. In the flesh. Brandon Bean, general manager of the Buffalo Bills. Was that him on the escalator?
I don't know. I thought that's what you were
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, it was him. It was
okay,
him.
It was.
I think it was him.
I missed the dark memo you guys are.
I see you're like the second or third person that's commented that. I am not smart enough to put together outfits, so I either wear all black or all blue. You could ask NBC almost every day of my life.
He's wearing all black because of the Super Bowl. He sweat through his shirt every day, so he's going black.
It hides it well.
It does hide it well. It definitely does.
How are you?
Good. Good. You?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You guys here all week or what?
All week. Friday.
Yeah. You know, okay. The schedule, the way it's laid out, the quarterbacks being available on Friday and all that. So it's a full week. Right. Yeah. And now we get to sit here and grill you, too.
We're going to do some advanced scouting on the quarterbacks. Not that you're looking for a quarterback. Isn't it nice to not have to look for a quarterback?
Yes, it is. It is. It's good to have one. I would not want to be having to do it again. But it was a fun process to look back on, but stressful.
Yeah. Definitely stressful. All right. So you look at this year, right? I mean – you guys continue to do great things, can't get over the hump, whatever, right? Yeah. Right. What's this, the off-season challenge here for the 2024 season that Brandon Bean's looking at right now?
Yeah, I mean, our first challenge is obviously getting our cap squared away and getting under. You know, I was excited to see 255 versus like 245.
Is that what you thought it was going to be, 245?
We thought it would be mid-240s. Yeah. We were actually conservatively counting a little bit lower, but when I saw last week it could be closer to 250 than 240, I was like, all right, maybe it's getting to 248, 249, this is good. And it pops out at 255. It was, you know, it saves you. Maybe it's one less guy you got to release or restructure, because you're trying to balance that of you don't want to just credit card everyone and just pile it up. At some point, that's going to come due. So you're trying to balance it. I don't really want to walk into 2025 or 2026 and say, all right, we got $112 million to unload. How are we even going to get into the season? So it is a balance when you have a quarterback, but we're trying to massage that.
Yeah. All right. So I'd love to start there, and just the fact that, again, your team, it's well-built, right? Here's one of the things that I always say, and please push back to me, tell me I'm an idiot or whatever, right? One of the things I always go is, man, the Bills, they got all the steak and potatoes and everything like that, right? Mm-hmm. I just sometimes go, I think they just need a few more playmakers to maybe take pressure off of Josh Allen at times. Yeah. I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything that way, but kind of give me your state of the union on, you know, idiots like me kind of saying stuff like that.
No, you're not an idiot. I think – listen, yes, it is. You're always wanting as many playmakers. Who wouldn't?
Yeah,
you know, playing basketball, you want as many Steph Currys as you can put on your team.
Right.
But I always believe it starts up front. And I thought this was the best O-line we've had since Sean and I have been there. I thought the two guards we added, the one in McGovern on the left guard and then Saibo on the right.
Yep.
You know, we set a firm pocket. We stayed healthy up there. I thought that really helped Josh not have to bail as much.
Yeah.
Obviously, we still use his legs. We added a Dalton Kincaid, which people were like, oh, we had Dawson Knox. Why did you? And we just looked at it more as adding a weapon, a mismatch, trying to give Joe Brady, at the time trying to give Ken Dorsey, but trying to give Joe Brady as many pieces as you can. And a James Cook is a guy that we feel started to ascend this year. You know, he actually dropped a couple of touchdowns. He made some big plays for us, but hoping that, you know, he'll continue to ascend. But, yes, we would love, you know, if it works out in free agency of the draft, to find another playmaker to add, you know, whether it's a receiver or whatever position it is.
Yeah, gotcha.
Your head coach, Sean McDermott, said yesterday it's a matter of when, not if, the Bills win a Super Bowl. When you hear that, is that – he's like, don't be writing those checks and signing my name to them. I mean, how do you react to that?
No, I think, if you're going to sit in his seat or sit in my seat or Josh Allen's seat, you got to be confident. And, you know, it's out of character for Sean McDermott because he's buttoned up. He's never going to say anything. And I say it's out of character. It's like it's almost a good thing. Like, you know what? Are we frustrated that we haven't gotten to the top. You know, we feel we've had some teams that could have done it for whatever reason you want to get into that we didn't. But we have a strong team. We have a strong nucleus. There's always tweaks. Every team is a new team, but we are confident that we know what it takes. Hopefully we've learned along the way things I can do better. I'm sure Sean's saying things he can do better. And you're hoping your years of experience, and you look at a guy like Coach Reed as a great model of what he went to four straight NFC championships in
lost
Philly.
Three of them, right.
And you know, finally got there. You first have to get in the tournament, you know, to get a ticket. And you got to get a ticket there. So we've been winning the division. You do that, and you got to be playing your best football when you do that. And hopefully you keep swinging the sword, that you get it right, everything matches up. I know Josh Allen. I've talked to Josh multiple times. It's like he is as determined as ever.
Yeah.
And another year under his belt, he's tired of coming up short.
Yeah.
You know,
well. That's where I wanted to go a little. Like, I think, are you ever surprised there that, like, sometimes the national media and people are on Josh Allen, like, he's the problem, right? I mean, I know
Chris is very vocal about that.
Well, I'm sure he knows to a degree.
There are out there where it's all Josh Allen's
fault. I'm just like, what? I mean, how do you guys deal with that? How does he deal with that? Do you guys ever say anything to him or, you know?
No, I think Josh, listen, Josh, like anything, like any player, any competitor, he's never going to take that chip off.
No, I know.
You guys remember when he was drafted, all the stuff, and coming out of Wyoming, this guy couldn't hit a barn door. All the things that was said, you can't fix accuracy and all the so it's nothing new for him, and it's almost become like that's just what it is. And I don't know that it'll ever change. I think he's just one of those guys that some people are never going to come off the fact that they didn't like him.
Right.
And they didn't see the talent being able to – they saw the physical talent, but they didn't think it would translate to quarterback
play. Right,
you know?
Right.
And so anytime something goes, oh, he's regressed. And I also think – I mean, he's been listed as he's going to be the favorite this year to win the MVP or he's in the top three.
Right.
And how many times do we say the Heisman favorite doesn't win because everyone's expecting this every week? And, you know, I feel like Josh is also one of those guys where he can make 20 great plays in a game, but if he makes two careless, those are what shows up, you know, on all the highlight shows.
Definitely, definitely, right. I'm amazed by that.
Last year you guys were carrying heavy expectations, 2022. Super Bowl favorites. Like, the Bengals just went there last year, and the Chiefs are here, but why are we the ones that are carrying this weight? Same ideas with Josh Allen. This year you didn't have that burden of expectations. This year things started kind of rocky. What was the moment from your vantage point where it changed and why did it change?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely we were 6-6 at one point and we were in that lull and our offense, you know, I think people always have an expectation for our offense. And so we were going through some games where we were struggling early and getting behind. And then, you know, now all of a sudden, whether it's a lesser team, I mean, we went into New England and they came down, kicked a field goal. The opening kickoff, we get a holding penalty. I think we're starting on like the 8-yard line.
Yeah.
Josh, you know, made not a smart decision. He'll be the first to tell you. Threw a 7 route that was he was baited on a little bit.
Right.
Before we get we would run offensive play. Yeah. We're down 10-0 on the road.
Right.
And so you give a team, a division team, life like that. And we just had some games. We're playing Denver at home on Monday night, and I think we fumbled the very first play of the game.
He did.
James Cook.
He wasn't in the game for much longer.
And
more
so
after that.
It was just like we were shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, Mike. And so ultimately we decided a change needed to be made, you know, at the coordinator. I think we had a bye in there, and it just backs against the wall. You find out what you're made of. Obviously, you know, the thing came out with Sean's thing and all. Like, I think just all
that was
of it,
huge, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That hit piece?
Yeah, I think it was.
Right, wrong, accurate, inaccurate. That seemed to light the fire.
I think it was all at once. Like, you're changing a coordinator. You can't lose another game.
You guys are done. Right.
We had like a 4% chance to win the division at 6-6. And I think, you know, Josh, being Josh, the chip on his shoulder was like, come hell or high water, we're going to find a way to get in.
Right.
One more question. I'm going to be accused of being a troublemaker for asking this. But
no,
as the cap keeps going up and up.
Yeah.
Josh $43 million a year, $30
million
cash
here
flow
he
this
goes.
Year. I mean, at what point do you no?
There
at what
goes.
Point do you say I got to get ahead of this? Mm-hmm. I got to sit down with him and correct this to better reflect his value to the team. I'm not getting a percentage for the extension by saying this. I'm just saying for you, as a GM, at what point do you say, I probably should take care of this? It's probably getting to be a little glaring.
Are you working for his agent?
Not yet. I'm trying to.
I feel like you are.
I'm auditioning. I'm auditioning.
You're flinching over here.
Mike, you know we don't talk about contracts.
All right. Well, I
know. Good question.
Well done. Good answer.
So don't be surprised when you hear that this year, though, this offseason at some
point. I'm not going to write
it. They should pay Josh Allen more. That's what he's going to write to
you. Believe me, his agent's going to find this and probably text it over to me today and say,
I'm not going
to
write it today.
Hey, you want to meet at such and such later? I'm in town till
Florio
Friday.
Made some good points.
Let's talk.
We're going to take a break. Thank you, Brandon.
All right, thanks.
And Brandon V, GM of Buffalo Bills. More PFT Live right after this.
Thank you, buddy.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
20 today, I think. And we're back. We are back.
3 hours.
That was a quick break.
That was.
We are here at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
Seahawks,
now,
baby.
General manager of the Seattle Seahawks. Been with the organization since the year 2010.
Damn.
John Schneider.
You're getting old, man. You're getting old.
We all are.
You're a dinosaur for this business.
They were asking me questions earlier, like, hey, what do you think about Elliott Wolf? Dan Morgan. I'm like, oh, smokes. You guys are making me feel old.
All right, well, good. I just wanted to rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I deal with it all the time.
And I'll go get my report on YouTube if you want that later.
I would love that. Okay. In fact, I would love if we could have you on in the off season. You can read my scouting report on me. Would you have the guts to do that at some point in the
offseason? I think I probably could.
Would you have the guts to hear
it? I might have one on your dad, too.
That would be even better. See, you are a dinosaur. It's official. All right, so serious note.
Yeah.
Did you sense the Pete Carroll thing coming at all? I mean, did you have any inkling?
You know, with Pete, you know, with working with Pete over the years, you know, older gentleman like that, you just have to be ready.
Yeah.
And so, not last year, you know, but we went through that 5-game stretch this year that was pretty rough.
Right.
And our standards are standard, and we finished, you know, still with 9 wins, but yet we felt it was
didn't
feel
up
to par. Right. And, you know, Pete got together with Jody after the season, and the two of them had their conversations. And then, you know, my job has always been like, hey, like, let's get ready to roll if it's time to roll. So that's what we did.
Yeah.
When you look back on last year, can you pinpoint, like, where it went wrong, so where we need to address things going forward?
Yeah, I think we did that, you know, organically throughout our process. When we were interviewing coaches, it was like, all right, we didn't really have the time to necessarily do it because we were a little late in the process. We went through this stuff with Pete on a Wednesday, I believe. And then, so, you know, DEI training and getting all the questions approved and getting ready to go was we were a little late. We almost weren't able to interview Mike Donald. So, yeah, no, I mean, you're kind of always doing it through the season, but I think once you start interviewing guys and you're, like, listening to everybody and their different core philosophies and, you know, football worlds, if you will, you can kind of, okay, you kind of see, you learn a lot.
Right, right.
And you go from a guy who was 72 to a guy literally half his age, yeah, youngest coach yeah. now in the league, and Mike McDonald. What yeah. drew you to him? What was the thing that made you say this is our guy?
Oh, wow. Well, the product first, you know, look at, you know, over the years, whether it was Ozzie Newsome or Eric now, we've always talked about whether there's a like a familiarity between the two organizations. We always
you
felt
seem
like
sisters or cousins it's or brothers or whatever.
Yes, yes.
It's like you're the NFC version of them. Are they the AFC version
yeah,
of you?
They're always drafting players that we're getting ready to take and,
right.
you know, vice versa, or going after the same players in free agency.
Just big bad killers is what you guys
I don't know
coach.
What. I don't know right. why that happened, but so just being attracted to the Raven organization and then, you know, watching, again, the product, watching the film, watching what he did at Michigan, watching how they, you know, he goes back to the Ravens, what they did, you know, with the Ravens since he came back, and then, you know, watching Michigan play this year.
Yeah.
You know, I was at Michigan on a Friday, and I think they had like 24 guys, you know, to go through, and, you know, so, and then when you sit down with them, so you see the product, and you sit down, you see the clarity, you see the maturity, you see the football intelligence, and it just stands out. I don't know how else to explain it other than that.
Well, it almost feels like a carbon copy or like a repeat of history of, like, you know, hey, it's Pete and Gus Bradley, and here we go, Seattle 3, and we're going to be a defensive innovating team.
Yeah.
I mean, did you intend for that to happen, or that happened organically?
No, I wish I could say yes. Right. But, you know, doing all the background research, like I said, we weren't able to speak with Mike in that first round. So, you know, being able to speak to all of our relationships with the people that have been interviewing, we're able to interview them. At a number of my friends and with our relationships around the league, that basically said, hey, you know, the two of you guys, I think, would really hit it off. And then the people we had in our room, you know, Jody and you know, everybody was included in the search. Everybody just kind of really, it just stood out. You're interviewing somebody for an hour and a half, and it felt like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so it stands out pretty quick.
Right. You know, when you point out the similarities between the two organizations, the Seahawks and the Ravens, that had to make it even more impactful to you.
It did.
When you played the Ravens this year, the outcome of that game, not just we have to change, but maybe somebody on that staff is who we need to come in here and shepherd this change.
You had a couple of players ask me, you know, after the game, who's the, you know, what was that? What just happened? Who was that?
Right.
Who was the coordinator? You know, what?
What was it about the defensive problem?
Well, that was ridiculous, you know. Right. You know, the complexity, right, through, like, the vagueness or whatever. I mean, it stood out.
Did you not get the memo, right? You didn't get the memo this year? You hired a defensive head coach?
you're supposed to hire somebody
from Shanahan and McVay's coaching tree, or you're an idiot.
Yes, especially if you come from Green Bay.
What are you doing? I mean, it almost, like, I admire you. I really do to take this approach. Because I'm as an ex-quarterback, I'm sick of hearing about quarterback OC and that whole thing. I really am. Right?
Well,
do you feel like it gives you a competitive advantage anyway? Or are you thinking of McVay and Shanahan in the NFC West?
And, you know, able to speak to those guys and, you know, asking them about what they think of the league. And, you know, those guys were gracious enough to spend, you know, time with me and you know, just kind of like in your own mind, you know, understand that you're headed down the right path. And, you know, I had somebody, you know, tell me, hey, you know, this is the defensive version of Sean McVay and the way he communicates. And and so in our division, you know, Drew Petzing's a up-and-coming play caller. And then you have Kyle and, you know, Sean. I mean, you know, I guess in our division it's like, you know, pick your poison, right? So this was – Mike was just a great fit. I think you guys will really enjoy it. I don't know if you've met him yet or not.
No, not yet. I'm a huge fan of him. Yeah. I mean, I love the defensive
scheme. Yeah.
So, look, it's still a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah. Yep.
And Geno Smith, you did some contractual stuff recently. Is it fair to say he's QB1, or is it competition or TBD?
We hope there to be competition, but, I mean, he's been our starter 2 years now, and that was really just, you know, we have triggers in there, automatic triggers. It was just a matter of when we were going to do it, right? So having the roster bonus convert to the signing bonus just to give us more cap room. We didn't foresee the cap going up as much as it did. But to be able to have that, you know, create that room was important for
would
us.
Would you
as
have
well.
Not activated the trigger if you had?
No,
it was 255?
We would have done it anyway. But
what did you think it was going to be?
I was thinking 249.
You were high. That's high. Most were low 240s.
Yeah, I can't give you my insider guy, but yeah, it was 249 was the number. And when he's at 245, it was like, let's go.
Right.
So, yeah.
You, I got to ask you about one of your rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, he was maybe the most fun rookie to watch on the defensive side of the ball this year.
Yeah.
Right? Devin Witherspoon. You know, talk about him. You know, what led you to drafting him last year, all of that, and kind of the influence he has on your young guys on your team right now.
Yeah, well, your dad would have played against Dale Carter, and he reminded me a lot of Dale, and that, you know, he could play inside, he could play outside, his feel for route concepts behind him, his physicality, the love of the game. And you know, he missed, I want to say he missed four games, and so we missed him in the first game, and then we missed him down a stretch a little bit there, too. But he's an infectious personality. You know, he works his tail off. It's important to him. He got a little light at the end of the season. I think it was like 178, 180 right
in
there.
That rookie wearing down body mode, right?
Yep, so we got to put some body armor on him. Right. But, you know, really excited. And, you know, we had definitely, you know, discussed those quarterbacks up there. But for him to be available for us at that point was extremely important. And, yeah, I guess 2 years in a row, you know, up in Seattle, you don't get – you know, offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. It just doesn't happen up there.
It doesn't happen. I know. You guys are kind of like lost under the radar.
Yeah, I'm
not
sure how many sacks or interceptions you had happen.
The stats are all that matters this day and age. What about, you know, the process with Mike McDonald and evaluating, like, is there a thing you have to go through? You know, with Pete, he probably had his own vision of guys, but Mike's coming from a different school of thought and how they do things. So how much do you converse with him and kind of figure out this new formula?
Yeah, we do. I mean, nonstop. So, like I said, 15 years ago, you know, I was working with the Packers. We were the youngest team in the NFL. Seattle hired Pete, you know, being at SC. They wanted to be a young football team. So we came down here, we were learning each other, you know, building our philosophies by position. But really, you know, Mike and I have done that as well, but you kind of get used to things. And, you know, just maybe last week, a week before, he'd asked me a question, and I thought to myself, you know, wow, like, I haven't sat down and told him, like, how our free agency meetings are going to go or what the draft looks like. Like, you know, you just take things for granted after a while, right? So, but no, I think, you know, like, play like a Raven, always compete. Those things are very similar, and so I don't think it's going to be that drastic by position.
Gotcha.
Coach McDonald was asked earlier this week about Drew Locke and how he fits into things.
Yeah.
From your perspective, how does Locke, who's going to be a free agent again, came back last year, hits the market this year, does he fit on the depth chart?
He does. He does. We'd love to have him back. And, you know, the first year after we traded for him, he was supposed to have the second game, I believe. Yeah, it was against Chicago in the preseason. And he got COVID real bad, lost his legs. So he plays in the third game against Dallas and just did not have his legs at all. Threw a couple of balls that he'd love to have back. And then once that happened, you know, Shane Waldron, Pete, Dave Canales, those guys did a phenomenal job of instilling that confidence in Geno. And once Pete named Geno the starter, Geno's confidence just went through the roof. Drew had a nice, you know, he had a nice year for us this year. Played those two games, played a great two games for us. And, yeah, we'll be meeting with all those guys down here this week, and hopefully we can have them back.
I know you got to go. I got one more for you just as far as, like, you know, almost culture-ish. You guys were almost close to a dynasty and all that stuff there and damn good. And I know, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to bring up bad memories.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs right now.
Yeah.
Just you looking at them. I know you know Andy.
Yeah.
Right? What impresses you about them, their culture, maybe that, you know, the rest of us don't see?
Yeah, I'd have to say Andy. You know, that staff that I was blessed to be around just right out of college, it was a crazy staff. And he was really cool about bringing me in and teaching me about tight end play. And then just having that openness and his creativity and the way they reinvented themselves with Patrick. I think it's, you know, you know, I told John Lynch this, you know, when I called him after the Super Bowl, I thought that they had the best roster in the National Football League, but I don't know how you compete down the stretch against that. None of that is, I think we're seeing rare stuff right there.
Right, yeah, I agreed.
It's cool to hear you say that. Yeah, and everybody's going to have to deal with it for like the next,
it's rare stuff.
One of the playoff
games. They didn't feel like they were the better team, and they won because he's that quarterback.
To the fans out there, and I've said this before, if you don't like it, watch something else on Sundays in the fall, because it's going to be another 10, 15 years of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and everybody else trying to figure out how to beat him. All right, John?
John Schneider and Mike McDonald are going to stop that.
We'll see what I got.
The hell with all that talk.
All right, we'll be back with Dave Canales. He was mentioned by John Schneider. Dave Canales is going to join us next year on PFT Live. We are here at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, talking to plenty of coaches and general managers as the day progresses. Joining us now, the brand new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Dave Canales. He must not know us very well. He wouldn't have agreed to do this.
Well, no, I mean, he's nice to us right now, too. He's like, wait, these guys aren't that bad. You know?
I got a good way to break the ice, though, but would not go
Damn.
Over well,
well
with Dave.
I mean, what if we...
He's got a bottle of water, and I was going to say, don't throw your water on me.
Oh.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah. All right.
You're funny.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
I don't really
I didn't say it. I was just thinking
but
about
it. What do you mean? You don't throw your bottle on
okay,
me.
Okay, see, it just went right over his head.
Oh, I got it now.
Now you got it.
I got it.
Now
I got
you got it.
I
was a late reaction, like a boomerang.
Damn, I'm blonde. Sorry,
but I didn't ask that question. I'm just saying that would have been a good icebreaker if I had chosen to ask that question. That's all.
But you didn't.
Right. I didn't.
So we're good.
Dave, how's it feel to be an NFL head coach?
Yeah. What am I doing? Tell me where to be. So, it's 2 years in a row. First year OC last year.
Right.
Get to the combine. I'm used to my routines. Right. As a quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Or receivers coach, pass game coordinator. So OC thing. Okay. Now you're watching all these guys, and then let's take it a step further. Now you got to start digging into, you know, last night, just an evening of pass rushers and linebackers and things. So, you know, really just expanding. I'm a curious guy, so just trying to learn, you know, how to figure out a new position and how to really, you know, connect with those coaches and players.
It is crazy when you think about it. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah. You come to Seattle with Pete, 2010, and you're there in different roles, and you're working your way up, but it's slow and it's steady.
Yep.
And it just kind of settles in, and then all of a sudden it explodes.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea that was going to happen?
I felt ready for it to happen for a while. And that was part of me just, you know, being in Seattle, like knowing that maybe 5 or 6 years ago, like, okay, when am I going to get my shot? I need to call plays. I need to go do this thing that I feel like I'm really prepared for. Nobody's really prepared for anything till you get thrown out there and the clock's ticking and you got to spit it out and you push the wrong, you know, button on the side a couple times, so had to get all those out of the
Where's
way.
Where's the red flag?
Yes. And so another thing I'm going to have to figure out is how do I check out the surface right here and stay engaged with what the defense is doing and move with the ball? You know, that's going to be a whole different field.
Right.
Things that I just watch on TV, watch guys do. But anyhow, yeah, so it just kind of – I felt ready. I felt ready to take on the challenge, I should say. And then for it to not happen was like, okay, then how can I reframe that to just continue to grow? Let me learn from these guys that we have here. Let me pick Pete's brain more about just being ready for this process and kind of try to expand my vision and scope to be able to you know, have a chance to hit the ground running as much as possible.
It's interesting because we've seen guys in your position, Ben Johnson, the guy down in Houston, a little bit like, whoa, I've only had 1 year of play calling.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to be head coach. But you felt like it was time to jump in and go. Like, when was that moment where you were like, I'm going to go. I'm not worried about being a play caller another year or whatever.
Yeah, I think it just goes to a belief in a style of way to play football.
Yeah.
And like you said it, you know, being with Pete for 14 years, 13 in the NFL, you know, from a structural standpoint, practice plans, off-season plans, you know, to roster improvement, just kind of, you know, and of course with Pete, you know, he was – had the final say in a lot of the things that was done in Seattle. So he really had to prepare himself that way. So the guys that got to spend that much time with him, I was really kind of learning and growing and grooming myself for what if I got a chance to make
the
final decision. That's not what we're doing in Carolina, but I think that really challenged me to really push what I could see and what I can learn, you know, about the whole process. So I felt confident about the process of it, even though obviously – you know, you ain't really ready until you get out there and things start happening.
Yeah, right. All right, so how do you approach the quarterback situation? You had this great success with Baker last year,
right.
Slowly formulated the offense around him. Now you're with undersized, small Bryce Young, but you got history with Russell Wilson and knowing that similar type of quarterback, right? How do you kind of view Bryce Young, evaluate him, and, like, what he needs to do here going forward?
Yeah, so this just takes me back to 2012, you know, and young Russ coming in and building an offense, building a defense, a team
yeah.
that allows Russ to really accentuate the talents that he has, you know. And so for me, looking at Bryce, you know, let's play a brand of football that takes the quarterback off the high dive. Kind of stole that from Sean Payton. He said it last year. It's like, the quarterback doesn't need to be, you know, the critical part of every single play. How about right. you just be special 3 to 5 times a game?
Yeah.
You know, how about for the other 95% of the game, you just manage it. You just get us to the right run, get us to the right pass.
Right.
Throw it to the first open guy.
Right.
Life's better that way.
Right.
You know, and so
right.
can we get him to playing a brand of football? The run game's a big part of that.
Yeah.
Play actions, screens, all part of that. Just kind of breather plays for the quarterback. You know, can we build that type of a system for a guy that allows him to just feel like, I can do this, you know, and then we can expand it, you know, if it calls for that, you know, then we can expand our game and expand what we do, but minimize those situations where you put him in that high-stress environment.
Right.
You know, you had so much time working with Pete, and now that Pete isn't attached to a team,
yeah.
how much of a resource has he been for you so far, and how much do you expect him to be going forward?
I fully expect Pete to be on call. He's on Haleiwa time, though, so that's like 6 hours that way, you know, so I kind of have to wait till later in the afternoon. Really, after work at night, 9, 10 p.m., sweet spot, right, for Pete. And so for him to be there, just kind of really like, hey, wear me out. You're not bothering me. I'm so fired up for you. I'm so excited to, you know, and really like for him to kind of let me, you know, peek behind the curtain, you know, on some things that yeah. – that he was teaching us and things that he said, yeah, this is what we talk about from a broad standpoint, but here's really the heart of what I was trying to get done with some of these things. Those conversations have been huge.
No, it's part of his legacy, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's invested in it. He's worked with you. You have the relationship, and this is his name going forward as his coaching tree
Absolutely.
Continues to flourish.
You have any moments like, I know there's only 32 of these things, right? You went to yeah. an owner and a team where they fired the coach halfway through the year,
yeah.
right? Both years, right? And I don't know all the reasons behind the scenes or whatever else, yeah. but that as in a position like that you were in, did that make you go, oh, wait, do I want to be here? Or is it more like, wait, here's my chance. I got to go.
Both.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
scary.
Good
right?
answer.
Definitely
yeah.
scary,
good answer.
But at the same time, like right. I'm 42, you know, I'm not 32. This is not like, flash in the pan, you know, young wonder kid, you know, whiz guy who's doing the next, you know, offensive. He's the next offensive guru mind or anything like that. I was like, I was in a spot that learned good football for a long time. So now let me go put these principles into practice. I just felt a readiness to this and for this opportunity to happen, you know, in a division that I know really well.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just like then I get a chance to meet Mr. and Mrs. Tepper and to feel the competitiveness, you know, to feel the passion. You know, the what's behind it and to go, okay, well, I'm betting on myself, you know, and I'm going to take this opportunity and I'm going to give it everything I have with, you know, with the staff that's in place there and bring some guys so that we can play a brand of football that they're hoping for and expecting, you
right.
know. And so I kind of liked it, you know, in that regard. So,
you yeah. know, when you think of it this way, most jobs, Dave, are open for a reason and it's
right.
not a good one.
Right.
And the window's open. We talk about that all the time. If you defer it a year,
who knows?
You never know if that window is going to be there again. So that's got to be a huge factor in the final decision.
Yeah, so you look at that, right? So it could work two ways for you. One way is you go and have – you build on the success in Tampa, and then you have, say, 3 or 4 teams. Or it flops on you, and then you don't get enough other opportunity. And I've been around those types of situations where coaches are hot for 1 second. Next
sure.
thing you know – you know, they're kind of just business as usual, you know, either as coordinators or as position coaches. And
or gone like Byron Leftwich. I mean, he went from hot to
right.
yeah, nowhere.
Nowhere.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it's just for me, it's like there's so few opportunities. You know, for me, I'm a now guy. I'm a today. I'm a right now. And when I saw this opportunity and I was like, well, this makes it easy for me because it was the only team that actually requested me for an interview for
right.
a head coaching job. So it was like, all right, let's go win this thing right now because this is the only one I have. So just that kind of approach to it.
How about, you know, you talked about you got to see the, you know, the Panthers twice a year. You got
yeah.
to see Bryce twice a year. I know you're coaching your own offense.
Yeah.
But kind of what – how about your thoughts when you're sitting there on the sideline watching him on the field, kind of what impressed you, maybe what he needs to get better at?
Yeah, what impressed me about him to start off is just the courage of the guy.
Right.
So, like, it would be play before he just gets smoked.
Right.
You know, very next play – steps up in the pocket, rips a 15, 20-yard in cut, you know, under duress. And it was like, and his demeanor was such that, like, the play before didn't even happen.
Right.
And then I have to say on the other side of that, like, hey, how about let's not be so courageous at times?
Yeah.
And he does have that mechanism where he'll get rid of the ball,
right.
You know, but as he's going through his progressions, just the decisiveness, you know, just the intelligence of the footwork marrying with the concept, like just a year two improvement, the basic year two leaps that guys make from their rookie year to their second year. I've seen a bunch of coverages. I've seen a bunch of exotic pressures. You know, I've seen what an NFL pass rush looks like, you know, and that being able to build off of that tape, you know, where it's him doing it, you know, it's going to be really important for us going forward. But, you know, from as I got to finish kind of my work and then go and watch what was happening there, you know, I just like to take the pressure off of the quarterback to just be a part of what they're doing offensively instead of trying to be a feature of it.
Well, that leads me kind of my next question, and I don't want to go backwards, but I do just because I'm interested in it, and I'm learning about you too. Like with Baker, you know, was there that moment last year? Because you guys kind of started off good, then you went through this lull.
Yeah.
Baker made a comment like, I think we got to stop, you know, trying to play through the run game or whatever.
Yeah.
And it felt like the offense kind of took off from there.
Yeah.
Right? But what in your eyes was it for him and you guys or whatever that kind of got, you know, the ship straight there in Tampa?
Yeah, I think we kind of I think we won a few games early on just off of a few big plays. We weren't really good at football.
Right.
That showed up mid-season.
Yeah.
We weren't really good at football, and we weren't that much better than the teams we were playing. And we weren't better than some teams. You know, like when you have Mike, you have somebody who's better than whoever he goes against one-on-one pretty much every play. So we knew teams had to do stuff to try to, you know, affect him. But, you know, as we went through that middle part of it, like we never gave up on the run game.
Yeah.
Regardless of what Baker's frustrations might have been, I didn't care. I knew what we needed to do to win the division, to try to give us success, to see if we can win a playoff game or two and see what happens from there.
Yeah,
you know, and so I knew the run game was going to be a part of that. We saw a 20-yard difference from the first half of the season average to the second half of the season. So it was about being steady. It was about being committed to improving fundamentally. It was that 1-0 mentality, a chance to win the division. Guys, can we not block out all the external stories happening right now?
Right.
Can we just make it about this combo on the backside of the run? We got to make this happen so that this plays. Can we flip the protection on this look? Because that's going to allow us. So we really just fully committed to the incremental, fundamental.
The nuances.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And then I will say, this was a quarterback competition in training camp.
Yeah.
It was Kyle Trask. It was Baker Mayfield. We were splitting the reps.
Mm.
We got Baker all the reps he needed in the beginning of the season, and then through that middle part, we really started to fine-tune the pass game towards Baker's strengths.
Okay.
And our guys.
Right.
And that's when we started to really find our groove and see.
Okay, that's where I was interested.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Sorry it took me so long to get to that.
It's one of the drawbacks of having a quarterback competition. Yeah. You're taking away reps. We say it all the time.
Yeah.
From the guy who's ultimately going to be the starter, those reps that go to the other guy could have gone to him. All right.
We 2 years in a row.
Yeah, so, 2 years in a
Dave,
row. That's right.
We appreciate you very much. We wish you all the best in Carolina. Congratulations on your success.
Dump some water on him anytime you want.
Yeah. We'll be back. And don't let him get that bottle because he'll do it. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Hey, thank you.
Indianapolis, Indiana, site of the Scouting Combine. We are here through Friday. I think the next few days will be a little less of a roller coaster. It has been a fun 3 hours, and it really
it's been six hours
because we taped four or five
of
these
nine
before we even hit noon Eastern. But once we hit noon, it has been one after another after another.
I've actually had a few people who have been with the coaches come over and go, "You guys are amazing." You go, I don't understand how you guys can keep rattling off questions with all these different guys.
They don't know whether or not the questions are good, though.
Well,
they just know that we're asking questions.
Well, I say the same thing that I say to everybody, right? I mean, we live it, you and I. So we're in it all the time. It's not like we're like, oh, no, I don't know what to ask this guy.
No.
You know, we got some help from our
Matt Casey's doing a great
producer,
job.
Matt Casey
of giving us handwritten cards with questions.
But
and
we're
they're
immersed
excellent
in
questions.
It. We feel like, I mean, we laugh all the time. We could talk about 50 minutes about the coin toss and break it down. I mean, that's just what we are. We're kind of nerds that
way. Somebody asked me last week, what do you do to prepare for your show? It's like, I just show up.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to prepare when you live it all the time and you think about it all the time and just talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
So this is great. This was great. I retract my comment from yesterday.
He didn't want to be here. This sucks. I hate going. The best day is when I'm leaving.
I can't even remember who all we talked to. We talked to so many.
We talked to the good ones.
Kevin O'Connell.
Right.
And...
Well, you brought up the Viking first. Well, of all the, you bring up the guy that didn't get to the playoffs
there's news
first.
There. Okay. There's news there. He made it clear they want to keep Kevin O'Connell. But my assessment of what he said, if you
want
read
to keep Kirk Cousins, leads, you mean?
Yeah, they want to keep Kirk Cousins. Right. What did I say?
You said Kevin O'Connell.
He wants to keep him too. Reading between the tea leaves.
Yeah,
they got a number.
Yeah,
they got a number that they're willing to spend.
Hey, I'm all
and
for
if
that.
If he can get more than that, go ahead.
Hey. Numbers got to start being a part of these GMs and these teams. They got to start drawing the fine line a little bit, right? I do think that. You know, you've heard me say that, you know, and I even say that with the conversation of Tua in Miami. At what point are we going to stop this, oh, just because it's a new quarterback contract, he gets to be at the top of the market? Some of these guys are not top of the market players, period. So, you know, I do feel like we might be getting to that time here where it seems like there's a little bit more, hey, let's build a team type of thing. I'm hearing that from people more. I find that a little encouraging.
And, you know, if the Vikings have budgeted a price for Kirk Cousins that they aren't willing to go beyond, they're inviting him.
They are.
Engraved.
Right.
Roll out the red carpet. Go ahead. See if you can get better. If you want to leave, go ahead. You've earned your right to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be prepared for the possibility that he'll leave.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll see how it goes. He also told us that they have no intent to trade Justin Jefferson, not ironically, not in a way to make it sound like the Percy Harvin thing.
That
they
was
don't
like
want
ironclad.
To trade him.
Yes.
They don't want to trade him.
That's not happening.
But at some point, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask him, because every GM and coach that we talked to about the increase in the salary cap, the $255.4 million, was happy. I wonder how happy they were. Because once it goes up for them... It gets more expensive to keep Justin Jefferson.
Right.
And maybe somebody else does beat the number that we've already budgeted
for Kirk.
For
Cousins,
Kirk. Maybe
we've
got to go back and redo that number now because somebody may come in with a better number now that they have found more money to spend that they thought they weren't going to have. So I just wondered that we didn't have time to ask him that question, but I was curious about that. But we had Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it'll be interesting with the Kirk Cousins thing where the rest of the league values him too. And when he does it, that again, it is a quarterback that you and I both agree is damn good, top 10-ish in football. We know that, right? But not necessarily the guy that can carry your team. You know, right? He needs an offense and a coach like O'Connell or Shanahan or McVay. That's what he is a little bit. It's not Allen or Mahomes, right? And then the fact of the matter is, you know, I know he threw some balls on the tennis court yesterday. That did not give me like, oh, he's going to be ready to play here in a few weeks, right? Or a month or two. I mean, that was slow beginner style drop back and throw. So that's going to hurt his market value too. I think those are all factors
look,
here.
Look, we've talked in the past about collusion within the confines of the salary cap, and owners don't want to give fully guaranteed contracts. And he's going to be 36 in August. He's coming off that torn Achilles tendon. I just wonder how much is really out there to bring him in as a new guy when you have other options available.
Right.
I don't know. And I don't want to hurt his market. Yeah. I want him to get whatever he can get.
Sure.
But that's all to be determined. The Vikings have a very quiet and steady resolve and confidence that they're going to get him back.
Yeah, and you know, to your point too, there are other options out there. You know, and not, I'm not saying they're as good as Kirk Cousins, but they might go, wait, this guy's a little less, but we still think we can be every bit as
Russell
good as a
Wilson
team.
Russell Wilson for $1.21
million. Again,
dollar
exactly
for dollar,
right.
That's the best
of those
option.
out there. All that's right. What I'm saying.
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, Peacock and Sirius XM 85.
He'll be here.
Have a great
He's
day.
Like it and everything.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
saving money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.